that the gospel of God deals with sin. And we say that dogmatically. The gospel of God deals with sin. We see the holiness and the justice of God. God is a holy God. We're not going to dispute that. God is a just God. God who is holy, a God who is just. How then can a man be saved if he's filled with sin? We can understand the holy aspect, but what about justice? That sin needs to be dealt with. And the sin of man is dealt with either by the man himself facing the wrath of God or by Christ, who is his substitute.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Been listening to I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, produced by the Free Presbyterian Church. We welcome you to our program today, and we're delighted that you've taken time to join with us. Yesterday, we considered together the first part of the message entitled the perfections of God in the gospel. We can think of the truth of God. And Thomas Vincent, the old Puritan preacher, said that the truth of God is his essential property, whereby he is sincere and faithful, free from all falsehood and simulation. The gospel is the gospel of the truthful God. And today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you do not know the forgiveness of sins, you must start with the truthful God. You must start with the words of truth in the gospel that come from the truthful God. We're going today to our pulpit to hear the second part of that message, the perfections of God in the gospel.
I want you to see thirdly here that the gospel of God is undeserved. The gospel of God is undeserved. This glorious gospel by which we are saved and by which we are redeemed is undeserved. We're not saved. I am not saved because there is anything good within me, but because of the goodness of God. And we can think of his mercy and his grace and his love. Turn with me to Psalm 33, the 33rd Psalm and verse number 5. Here the word of God says, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. Our God is a God who is good. There are many other verses we could turn to, but for the sake of time, we'll leave it there. It's very clear. The earth is full of the goodness of God. God is merciful, and God is gracious, and God is loving. And when we think of his goodness, we're here tonight because of the goodness of God. You're hearing the gospel because of the goodness of God. You perhaps have believed the gospel because of the goodness of God. We're here as God's people to fellowship and worship him because of the goodness of God. How marvelous that is. His mercy, his goodness are sweet. It is a free mercy. It is overflowing goodness. It is eternal goodness. We have a God who is good. A God who is merciful. And how is he good in the gospel? Because there is a gospel. Because there's a way of salvation. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins upon Calvary. Because whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the goodness of God seen in his gospel. That sinners can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, are you tonight trusting in the goodness of God? Have you experienced it? Are you rejoicing in it? Because your soul has been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb. But there's a warning here. We're not to abuse the Lord's mercy. We're not to sin and claim that God is good, and therefore, he won't judge me. We're not to sin and engage in sin and live for sin, and then be of the opinion God is good and merciful, and therefore, I can do whatever I like. No. God is just and God is holy. But in his goodness, there is a great and glorious way of salvation. Notice here, fourthly, the gospel of God is all truth. It is all truth. The gospel of God is infinite and eternal truth. Where would we be if this glorious gospel was not true? Our God is a God of truth. Our Savior was a preacher of truth. Our church, by God's grace, is a bastion of truth. That is what the church is, the pillar and ground of the truth. And the church must preach the truth of God. Psalm 57 verse 10 says, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens. That's the goodness of God. And thy truth unto the clouds. God's truth is a great truth. Great truth. And God's truth is seen in that his promises never fail. I want you to turn to Titus 1 verse 2. Titus chapter 1 the verse 2. And there it says, speaking of Christ and the gospel, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Our gospel is a gospel that is founded on what God says. And God is a God who cannot lie. Dear believer, what a comfort that is to your heart. We're resting in a gospel. We're resting in a Savior. We're resting in a God who cannot die. What a comfort that is. What a glorious promise we can depend upon. When times are hard and tough, and we begin to wonder about salvation, and are we really saved? Well, how do we know we're saved? How do we know about the gospel? Well, we've believed on Christ. We've trusted Him as our Savior. And our God cannot lie. We've trusted His word. He cannot lie. Oh, what about the truth of God that is revealed in Scripture? It tells you of your sin and of your depravity and of your wickedness. It tells of your judgment. And these are not the inventions of man. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin, depravity, wickedness, judgment are not the inventions of man. They are the truths of God Himself, the God who cannot lie. Dear unbeliever, you need to take these things seriously. God's word is true. God's gospel is a true gospel. Because God is true, and that gospel must be heeded. And that gospel must be believed. We see fifthly, the gospel of God is exclusive. It is exclusive. Our God is the only wise God. He knows all things. It was Solomon who received his wisdom from the Lord. And in the wisdom of the Lord, salvation is offered by God. It's offered in the gospel. It is an exclusive thing in the sense that there is one way of salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Peter is preaching. What is he saying? He's filled with the Holy Ghost. And being filled with the Holy Ghost, he says, there is no other way of salvation other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the wisdom of God, this is the way of salvation. Man has his own ideas of salvation, but God is the infinitely wise God who plans salvation. What are man's ideas of salvation? Well, man will say, all are saved. It doesn't matter who you are. All will go to heaven. Men say that. Religious men, leaders in churches say that. I've said that before, I believe. I'll say it again. I was present when a man said that. It's a funeral of a relative. And the comment was made that this relative was in heaven because he trusted in Christ alone for salvation, the biblical way of salvation. What did this, not merely a minister of a church, but a man high up in the rankings of Episcopalianism. A man who was retired, so in other words, he had experience and maturity. He's a man, 70s, maybe 80 years of age. What did he say? Sure, we're all going to heaven anyway. It doesn't matter whether he trusts Christ. It doesn't matter whether he rejected Christ. He's still in heaven. It's not what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible say? You must be born again. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Repent and believe the gospel, the Savior said. Man says good works, or religion, or being nice, or going to church, or paying our tithes, helping others. None of these things can save, but man believes in them. Man believes in them. Protestants believe in these things. Protestants are relying on these things for salvation. Wherever they got that idea, I do not know, but I've talked to those who firmly say they are Protestants. They believe in the Protestant faith. They believe in the Reformed faith. But they're trusting in all of these things for salvation, not in Jesus Christ alone. That is God's way. It's an exclusive way. And if you're relying on anything else, your family, your good living, coming to this church, whatever it is, that will not save your soul. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is God's exclusive way of salvation. And when we think of the wisdom of God, we think that he knows all things. We think of the eternally wise God. That is his way of salvation. Who are we to argue? Who are we to argue? If I was to say tonight that for lunch, well, for lunch I had pizza, and then I had some salad, and then I had a coffee. Who's going to argue with that? What knowledge do you have to prove otherwise? You weren't in my home. My wife is being silent and not saying anything about that. So the only thing you have to go on is what I'm telling you. And when we think of God, the infinite God, the wise God, the God who is eternal and plans salvation, he's telling us to believe, repent and believe on Christ. Who are we to argue? We're finite man. He is our God, our creator, the eternal God, who says in his word, this is how men are saved. Let us trust the wisdom of God and let us not argue with him. For he knows more, infinitely more than we ever will. He is the one who planned the way of salvation, the one who is the God of his gospel. Let us not argue. Let us trust him. Let us trust him. We see sixthly that the gospel of God is not impossible. It is not impossible. Men can be saved. And men can be saved how? Through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the power of God. And we think of Romans chapter 1, the verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power is there to save and redeem. Paul said, and Paul is writing this, what did he say? I am the chief of sinners. The chief, the greatest sinner. And the power of God was such that he could be saved. Oh, the omnipotent power of God, the power of the cross. Dear believer, rejoice in the power of God and salvation. Unbeliever, there's power to save. Christ can save you. Christ can save the chief of sinners. And this is a great comfort to the church of Christ. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord, the powerful Lord. The Lord who is omnipotent, the Lord who can save. We're not preaching a God with no power. We're not preaching a weak God or a feeble God. We're preaching the omnipotent King of glory, the one who has the power to save. That is who the church preaches. A God who is not on vacation or a God who takes a break. No, God is ever present, ever powerful, ever able to save. That is the God whom we serve as part of his church. Let us never forget that. Let us remember that he is a power to save. As Paul says, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Are you trusting that power? Are you believing that power? We see seventhly, and we might get through these. Seventhly, that the gospel of God deals with sin. And we say that dogmatically. The gospel of God deals with sin. We see the holiness and the justice of God. We won't turn to any references just for the sake of time. But God is a holy God. We're not going to dispute that. God is a just God. God who is holy, a God who is just. How then can a man be saved if he's filled with sin? We can understand the holy aspect, but what about justice? That sin needs to be dealt with. And the sin of man is dealt with either by the man himself facing the wrath of God or by Christ who is his substitute. Oh, you placing your sins upon Christ, the one whom the scriptures say was made sin for us. We're facing the wrath of God, but the gospel deals with justice and how the Savior was our substitute. And died in our place. And took our sin and our punishment and the wrath of God for us. That we would be holy. The justice of God and God dealing with sin reminds us that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. There will be a day of judgment. Hebrews tells us it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. The judgment. Oh, that you would be ready for the judgment of God. How can you be ready for the judgment of God? Believe. Repent from sin. Look to the Savior. Trust in Him for salvation. And then finally, the gospel of God is immutable. Immutable or unchangeable. Unchangeable. The unchangeableness of God is referred to as His immutability. And that is a wondrous, wonderful and marvelous truth. God is never different in His essence. None of these perfections change. And when we look at the work of God in salvation, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. The name Jehovah reminds us of God's immutable nature. I am that I am. I am always the same. I am never different. And God in His nature and His attributes and His power and His holiness never changes. And this teaches us something wonderful about God's salvation. This plan of salvation, the way in which men and women are saved, it never changes. The same gospel that Paul preached that saved sinners in the day of Paul is the same gospel today. Why? Because God hasn't changed. And the simplicity of that message, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. James 1 verse 17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Simply believe. God has not changed that message because there's no variableness in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And because God is unchangeable, that is the gospel. Man has changed that because man is a creature that keeps changing. He says, keep this code, attend this church, perform this religious rite, go on this pilgrimage, do this good work. But God's word never changes. It says, believe. Believe. And if you're not trusting tonight in the way of salvation proclaimed in the word of God, then you're not saved. You're lost. You're dead in your sins. Believer, what a comfort it is to know that God is unchangeable in the great promise and work of salvation in our hearts. We cannot lose our salvation. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Why? Because God is a God of truth. And God is a God who is unchangeable. And if we have that genuine, that real work of grace within our hearts, God will not change His mind. He is an unchangeable God. He will not change the way of salvation. The hymn writer said, change and decay in all around I see, O thou that changest not, abide with me. We can rest secure in the plan of salvation. We can rest secure in our God who is unchangeable. We've covered a lot this evening. There's much more we could say about these eight thoughts. It's not normally my intention to preach 8 points. I'm not going to try to improve on 8 points and preach 12 or 14. But there's much there concerning God. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So much there and so much we see in the gospel. Let us rejoice in our God. Let us rejoice that He is a God whom we see in the gospel in all His perfections, working in harmony, and rejoicing that we are saved. Are you saved tonight? Are you trusting in the Lamb of God for salvation? Do you know the glorious God as your Savior? The God we've spoken of tonight, the God we've read about. Do you know Him as your Savior? May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen.
Today, Spurgeon is in Acts chapter 4 and the verse 13. Now, when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Christian should be a striking likeness of Christ. You've read Lives of Christ beautifully and eloquently written, but the best life of Christ is his living biography, written out in the words and actions of his people. If we were what we profess to be, and what we should be, we should be pictures of Christ. Yea, such striking likenesses of him, that the world would not have to hold us up by the oar together and say, well, it seems somewhat of a likeness, but they would, when they beheld us, exclaim, he has been with Jesus, he has been taught of him, he is like him, he has caught the very idea of the holy man of Nazareth, and he works it out in his life and everyday actions. A Christian should be Christ-like in his boldness. Never blush to own your religion. Your profession will never disgrace you. Take care that you never disgrace that. Be like Jesus, very valiant for your God. Imitate him in your loving spirit. Think kindly, speak kindly, and do kindly, that men may say of you, he has been with Jesus. Imitate Jesus in his holiness. Was he zealous for his master? So be you. Ever go about doing good. Let not time be wasted. It is too precious. Was he self-denying, never looking to his own interest? Be the same. Was he devout? Be you fervent in your prayers. Had he deference to his Father's will? So submit yourselves to him. Was he patient? So learn to endure. And best of all, as the highest portrait of Jesus, try to forgive your enemies, as he did. And let those sublime words of your Master, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, always ring in your ears. Forgive as you hope to be forgiven. Heap coals of fire on the head of your foe by your kindness to him. Good for evil, recollect, is godlike. Be godlike, then, and in all ways and by all means, so live that all may say of you, he has been with Jesus. We've come to the end of our program today. We trust that it has been a blessing to you and to your soul, and that you would indeed consider the gospel of Christ, if you know not him as Saviour, and make sure of your salvation. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to preach the word.
You've been listening
of the living
to
God.
Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue in Surrey. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. We invite you to join us again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.